This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
If you or a loved one is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction and are serious about getting help, call us now at 855-820-2797. You can get clean and sober in as little as 7 days. Your insurance company may cover 100% of all costs with little to no out-of-pocket expenses. Our trained addiction specialists are available 24/7 and all calls are free and confidential. Just call us at 855-820-2797. How much longer are you going to suffer with addiction? Let us find you the best treatment center that fits your unique needs. Call us now at 855-820-2797.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
We've always been told that genocidal dictators of the world, they're just manifestations of the hateful right. That the left-wing icons like Che, Mao, Stalin need to be understood in context. But we live in a time that seems to move faster than time. A place that seems to have no place for truth. A reality that seems to have no connection to reality. So, to get our feet on solid ground for the future, we must first walk through the past with our eyes wide open.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
That is modern conservatism in a nutshell. Yet we're always told that Nazi Germany, who controlled every aspect of citizens' lives, is somehow conservative or right-wing. Is it true? Or is it an attempt to distract us from other, much more inconvenient similarities?
Author of Liberal Fascism, The Secret History of the American Left, From Mussolini to the Politics of Meaning, explains.
They say, you know, Hitler was a right-winger because of X, Y, and Z. I say, well, what was Stalin's position on X, Y, and Z? The common assumption is that the Nazis were a right-wing phenomenon. They were a right-wing party, that Hitler was a man of the right and all the rest. And there are a lot of problems with this. His social agenda was for expanding universal access to healthcare. It was for expanding access to education. It was for cradle-to-grave welfare state. It was for attacking big business and high finance. People say, well, Hitler abolished labor unions. He was right-wing then. Well, how did labor unions do under Stalin, under Fidel Castro? Almost anything you can find on a checklist that allegedly proves Hitler was a right-winger, you can apply to almost any one of the major communist dictators of the 20th century, and the similarities are almost identical.
Today, this idea may seem controversial, but as the Nazis were rising to power, it wasn't controversial. It was common knowledge. November 28, 1925, a tiny article printed in the New York Times describing the early internal struggle for the identity of the Nazis. A riot broke out after a Nazi speaker claimed that Lenin was the greatest man second only to Hitler, and the difference between communism and the Hitler faith was very slight.
The communists in the Reichstag voted almost uniformly with the Nazis. They voted in lockstep, and the slogan for the communists in the Reichstag was first brown, then red. The general understanding among the communists, among socialists back then, was that Nazism was a stepping stone towards the ultimate victory of socialism and communism.
While Hitler certainly opposed communism outwardly, he did so mainly because he disagreed with its internationalism.
He was a proud German, a German nationalist, a German jingoist, not a patriot, but a nationalist. And he rejected that element of Marxism. But he embraced socialism entirely. He embraced the idea of racial solidarity, of socialism for one race.
Even in Mein Kampf, he acknowledged that the movements were so close that if not for the focus on race, his National Socialist movement would really do nothing more than compete with Marxism on its own ground. But Nazi Germany had no corner on the market of racism and anti-Semitism.
Marx, we need to remember, was Jewish. He was a self-hating Jew. He rejected Judaism and all of the rest, but he was Jewish. And Hitler hated Jews. I mean, this is not a newsflash. Hitler was a passionate anti-Semite, and he saw Marxism as corrupted with a deep-seated Jewish nature. The irony here is that so did Marx. Marx was a real anti-Semite. He wrote about the Jewish problem a generation before the Nazis started talking about the Jewish problem. He said how we had to purge the Jewish spirit from Western civilization, from global civilization. He had horrible racist things to say about Jews and of blacks. And Hitler very much inherited that Marxist analysis when it came to things like Jews and other races.
Sometimes it's hard to tell Hitler and Marx apart. Who wrote that Germany's neighbors should accept the physical and intellectual power of the German nation to subdue, absorb, and assimilate its ancient Eastern neighbors? That's Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, authors of the Communist Manifesto, almost a century before the Holocaust. Hitler's underlying admiration for Marxism was obvious.
In Mein Kampf, Hitler writes about the Nazi Party flag, which is this big red flag with a white disc in the middle and the swastika in the center. Hitler explains it quite clearly in Mein Kampf that the red, the big sea of red that the swastika was in, was intended to attract socialists to his movement. The red flag was the emblem of the communists. It's the reason why we call them the Reds.
But it went deeper than similar ideology and imagery. Until Germany launched a surprise attack on the Soviet Union in 1941, the Nazis and the Soviets worked together. They even put it in writing, signing what was originally sold as a non-aggression pact. But just weeks later, they would invade Poland from opposite sides. But is this just a story of brutal iron-fisted dictators? Or something inherent in the philosophy? The fathers of communism, Marx and Engels, believed that societies would evolve from capitalism to socialism. But they acknowledged that there were still what they called primitive societies that hadn't even evolved into capitalists yet. They called them racial trash. As the revolution happens, the classes and the races, too weak to master the new conditions of life, must give way. There was only one thing left for those too far behind in the process of societal evolution. The chief mission of all other races and peoples, large and small, is to perish in the revolutionary Holocaust. All of these systems are based on the idea that we know better. That the little people are getting in the way of our plan, and, well, we'll just go around them. And then we have to destroy them. This arrogance always ends exactly the same way. One of history's worst examples, the genocide you've never heard of. We share that in the next episode.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the trouble that I have sometimes with my son and my daughter. They love the internet, as I do. The internet is an incredible resource, educational, social, recreational. It's all good, except it's not all good. Some of it is real bad, and it can show up on your kid's screen when you least expect it. So how do you as a parent handle it? I want to tell you about Hero Parental Control. It's the most comprehensive family internet solution available, and the activity from all of your family's devices can be filtered, can be monitored, and even tracked via GPS from a dashboard on your phone or your iPad. Material that may be healthy for a teen can be harmful to a young child, and so you need to have the perfect protection level from toddler to teen to mom and dad. One of the most important steps to a safer internet in your home is recognizing this is a really big issue. Hero gives you the power to create a protected and nurturing online environment. There's nothing like it. Try Hero. Block the bad. Choose what's good for your family. Visit BlazeHero.com. That's BlazeHero.com.